بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, after the battle of Ajnadin, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an gave instructions to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an and the Muslim army that now they must turn their faces, their direction towards Dimashq or Damascus. Damascus, the oldest capital of the world. Dimashq was considered to be the paradise city of Syria. Alhamdulillah, I say this with experience, it still holds that reputation until today. I had an opportunity to visit Syria, to visit that region of Sham, to visit Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an, where he is resting, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, the most beautiful city that one can ever visit is Dimashq. A lot of sukoon, sakina that is there. And as I mentioned even today in Jumu'ah, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said that I could see the angel spreading out the wings in that region of Al-Quds. And Al-Quds is that part also where Syria is today. So Dimashq is considered to be the main part, the main region, the jewel in the crown, the main city of Syria. That is why it was meant to be a very, very stronghold for the Romans. And the main target aim for the Muslims was to take that city of Dimashq and conquer it. The ulama have mentioned, Muslim historians, that the city Dimashq is as old as Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And they have said that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam with Hazrat Hawa and with their children Qabil and Habil, they moved in that part of the region in Syria, in Dimashq, and they settled there. Allah had given a long age to Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Until today, historically, and the people there take visitors to one mountain which I believe is known as Jabal Qubais or Qubaisiyah or something to the effect, Wallahu A'lam, which still has a cave there, the blood cave. They say that it has some stains of blood which is meant to be the blood of Habil, when Qabil killed his own brother Habil, and that is famously known there in that part of the region, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam with Hazrat Hawa, they were living on that side of Dimashq. Wallahu alam. This is what Muslim historians have mentioned. It is very, very rich with history. As Khalid bin Walid is resting there, the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, is there. Hustling, bustling city, trade is booming there even today. Subhanallah, a glittering city, a city that has got everything. everything is in Syria. That is why even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the main trade center was between the city of Makkah and Dimashq. So caravans would come from Dimashq to Makkatul Mukarrama and sell their goods there, and people would go from Makkatul Mukarrama and sell their goods in Dimashq. The people there are excellent, very, very polite, very, very nice, humble people. The one thing that I noticed there, even the general people in Dimashq in Syria, their level of knowledge, Islamic knowledge, is very, very deep. A normal person will have so much knowledge, he will be rich in Islamic knowledge. And I think I said that once in my dars, that when we were traveling by taxi, every taxi that we sat in and traveled by, there was always a small copy of the Quran there. Taxi drivers. No beard, no nothing, no kurta, but very simple, humble people. They were zakirin. A lot of zikr was with them. When they speak, you would frequently hear the name Allah, subhanallah, Allah did that, inshaAllah, Allah, Allah. A lot of durood, they would read a lot of durood. And when they would wait for customers, the best way to spend their time was by reading the Quran, they're sitting in the car. This is what we had noticed. Wallahu alam. Allah has the full knowledge. But these are great people, mashallah, no matter how they are. And even the shuyukh there, the scholars, the amount of knowledge they have, subhanallah, subhanallah. And that is why a lot of people, even from England, were going to Syria to acquire knowledge in the Arabic language. A lot of the kitabs are there and written, mashallah, by grand scholars. I had an opportunity to pray one Jumu'ah there, and the Shaykh, the way he delivered that khutbah, which was for 25-30 minutes, mashallah, the sharah, the tafsir which he did of the Quran, incredible people. And when you sit in front of them, very, very humble people, and they don't have long beards. Meri aur aapki tarah koi aadmi ho to fatwa de de, what will this guy know? Nothing. The problem with us is today we only judge people by the external appearance. Is he wearing an amama? Has he got a jabba? Has he got a beard? And that is enough, mashaAllah. He is meant to be Junaid Baghdadi. And whatever his condition may be inside. Now I am in no way belittling, astaghfirullah al-azim, please don't get me wrong, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is a must to have a long beard, alhamdulillah, and to wear the amama and to wear the kurta to show off and to display and to show the people who you really are. We don't have to be shy. But due to political tensions that are there in some part of the region, the shuyukh have no choice also. And a bit of qurbani and a bit of compromise, whatever they can do, they have to do. They have no choice. And while sitting with them, talking with them, this is what we understood very, very clearly. But the knowledge, the nur that was pouring out, incredible. The fasahat and balaghat they have in the Arabic language. Subhanallah, subhanallah. That is why, mashaAllah, Syria is mentioned in the books of ahadith. And it also goes that a lot of the awliyaullah meet in that part of the region. So Sham is a blessed area. Dimashq is a blessed area, a stronghold for many, many civilizations. During the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and the structure of Syria was something very, very different from present day Syria. It had a massive wall, approximately 11 meters high, 1 mile long and half a mile in width. That was the main section of Syria. Anything outside of it was Syria, but that was taken as the suburb of Syria. It was not protected, it was not fortified. It was open to the rest of the world, the rest of the borders. You could just go into that part of the region, the suburbs of Syria. But to enter into the mainland, the main heart of Syria, the only access was through six gates. Six gates. And the gates are, if I recall, the gate of Thomas, the gate of Jabiya, the gate of Faradis, the gate of Husayn, and the eastern gate and the small gate. This is a translation. So you had six main gates to get into the city of Syria. This was the structure of the city during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And it was well planned. As Khalid bin Walid, the intelligent man that he was, he knew exactly how to play about with the different cities that were in Syria. He knew exactly which city to take. One by one, came into, mashallah, the dominion of the Islamic Empire, taking it slowly, slowly but surely. The strategy, the plan for the Romans, the execution plan, the ulama have mentioned that there were three main key players in the Roman army. Warden, where is he? Gone. Kubuklar, where is he? Gone. Now you had other three characters. And to understand the Battle of Dimashq, we have to understand these three figures, three characters, Romans, non-Muslims. The first man was a man by the name Thomas, and this was the gate named after, the gate of Thomas. This man was a powerful man, a strong man, a soldier, very courageous. Above all, never mind the bravery and how courageous he was very, very intelligent. He had brains. You get some people very, very strong, physically powerful, brave, but they have no brains. They have no brains. Like there was this man who got married and then he said to his wife that I need to see my marriage certificate. So somebody gave him the marriage certificate, so there he is looking at the marriage certificate. The father-in-law said to him, son, do you doubt your marriage? He said, no, I'm just looking at the expiry date. I'm just looking at the expiry date. So you have an expiry date on everything. Where is the expiry date on this marriage certificate? He was actually fed up. So one is to have the intellect, the brains, and one is to have the strength. Two different things. So this man was very, very strong, very, very brave and intelligent. And he was Thomas. And he was even the son-in-law of the emperor, Heraclius. Heraclius was the father-in-law and he was the son-in-law. So Thomas overall was in charge of Syria. During the campaign of Syria, this was the main man in charge. This is Thomas. The second man to understand and to know him is also very, very important, is Azazil. Kya naam hai? Azazil. A Roman veteran soldier, very powerful. He was known as the champion for the Roman army, the champion. He was like the Khalid bin Walid version, but for the Romans. The Khalid bin Walid version, but for the Romans. He would boast that he has never ever lost in the battlefield. He has never lost a duel with anyone. He has never seen defeat. The man who played a pivotal role in pushing the Persians out of Syria. He crushed the Persians and the Turks. Strong man who had a lot of experience. Such was his experience. He lived in that part of Syria for such a long time that he spoke fluent Arabic. Yet he was not a Muslim, a Christian, but he spoke fluent Arabic. His duty was to take hold of the main city of Dimashq, to protect that, to protect the garrison, everything. An army of 12,000 powerful men were with him. 12,000 men. He was in charge. So you have Thomas and you have Azazil. Thomas is in charge overall. Azazil is in charge of the inside city, the main city of Dimashq. And then you have another character whose name is Khulus. What is his name? Khulus. Now, one is Khulus in the Arabic language, and one is the Roman name Khulus. Khulus in Arabic means the one who's very, very sincere. But believe me, this man was not sincere. He was a very shrewd, cunning type of man. Very fierce, very strong, very powerful. He took up any challenges. He was the man who kissed the hands of the emperor and said to him that, "I promise you, I will personally cut off the head of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid." What did he say? "I will personally cut off the head of Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala an, and I will put his head on a lance, and I will bring his head to you, and I will show it to the Romans that this man that you fear of Khalid bin Walid is nothing." This was the qasam, the oath that he took by kissing the hands of the emperor. Now Khulus only came into this fight of Dimashq because they needed to buy time. The city of Dimashq was such that it was not prepared for any siege. These people were so complacent that when the Persians were defeated, they thought that no one would want to come and peep onto Roman soil until Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala and touched down on Syria. So they were just shocked. Who is this man? They were not prepared. There was not food supply. There was no water supply. The main structure, the main city was not prepared for a siege. So they needed to buy time. They knew Hazrat Khalid bin Walid is now coming towards Dimashq. So they needed people to stop him. So Heraclius, very cleverly, the remnants of the Ajnadin war and the scattered soldiers that were there, what he said is that you go hide and attack the Muslim army. And you had skirmishes, fights, and you had snipers, and you had all sorts of things, traps laid out there so that you stop the Muslims and you can have time, enough time, so there's food supply and water supply in Dimashq. This was the plan of the Romans. So you had three people. One was Khulus, one was Azazir, and one was Thamus. One other thing you have to remember is that the two, Azazir and Khulus, they were enemies. They didn't get on well. They didn't get on well. This was rivalry and this was jealousy, hasad. Each of them had some form of status. All of them were soldiers. And he says, "I am the better one." Azazir would say, "I am the better one." And they disliked each other. So you had 12,000 men with Azazil. And Heraclius said that you have to bring with you 5,000 elite soldiers, Roman soldiers, and join Azazir. And now both of them don't get on well. So altogether you had now 17,000 men in Dimashq, in that main zone. And then you had other Romans scattered all out Syria trying to stop the Muslims, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, on advancing. This was the plan from the Roman camp. Let us go into the Muslim camp. Let us look what Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an had in mind. Wallahi lazeem, my respected brothers, the brain that Allah gave Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, the mind, the intellect, the intelligence that he had, subhanallah lazeem, he was always vigilant. It is famously said about Hazrat bin Khalid bin Walid that he himself never slept and he never let others sleep also. This is known about him. He didn't sleep himself and he did not allow others to sleep also. And nothing was concealed from him. All the time his mind is running, what to do, what not to do, what to do, what not to do. Very few hours, like I said, at Fajr time he was very fresh and prepared. He would be prepared to throw himself in the army anywhere in front of the enemies at Fajr time. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, thinking all the time, he would exploit any fleeting opportunity that came. He did not miss a chance. He was a daring man, a man who took a lot of risks. The ulama have mentioned in this battle of Dimashq only two changes. The first main change was what in military terms is known as the military staff. Later on this term was changed and the Muslim used that another term, which was the general staff. These were important characters, generals, closely attached to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. What Hazrat Khalid bin Walid did, he knew that this city is very, very important. You needed to get hold of the city entirely. This was again a stronghold of the Romans. What he did, he looked for keen, young, experienced soldiers, not just from Madinatul Munawwara. He made others as officers also, making them part of this Muslim army. So he looked at the Muslims that were from Iraq and selected one officer from them. He looked at the Muslims from Philistine, selected one from them, or a group or even more. He looked at the Muslims from Syria. He looked at those who came from Arabia, and he formed this group of generals, and their duty was to gather information of what the Muslims were doing, what they were planning, how they were talking, what was their thinking, and at the same time what the Romans were doing, what was the Roman strategy, their plan. Every information was given to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid via these generals, this elite group that Hazrat Khalid bin Walid had organized. Their mission was to collect information and to organize the dispatch. This was one move from Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. The second change which he did from the Battle of Ajnadin was when he came from Iraq into Syria, with him were powerful 8,000 elite soldiers, Mujahideen. From the 8,000, he chose 4,000 most elite Mujahideen. How many? 4,000. He chose 4,000 and gave them the title as Reserved Mobile Guards. Reserved Mobile Guards. Their duty was only to stay behind, not in the center where the battle is going to take place, to stay back. And when Hazrat Khalid bin Walid was to give them ishara, a hukam, they would come and join in. And Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala and had personally trained these 4,000 mujahids and had allocated each position for them, selected an amir for them. So they knew everything what to do. This was the team that was with Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an from day one, even in Iraq, even when they came into Syria. So they understood Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. These were the two changes. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an now prepares with the Muslim army. Slowly you had reinforcements coming from the different other parts of region, crossing into Syria. You had Roman soldiers now scattered all over Syria, also Muslims coming in. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an took the Jabiya route towards Dimashq. As Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was coming towards Dimashq from the Jabiya route, he had to cross one area which is known as Ma'raj al-Safar, the yellow meadows. When Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was entering Ma'raj al-Safar, subhanallah, he was shocked. There was a surprise for the Muslims. 12,000 Roman soldiers were waiting for the Muslims to stop the Muslims from advancing towards Dimashq. 12,000 Roman soldiers. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an thought that the main fight will be in Dimashq, when you get to Dimashq. But this was a risk that Thomas had taken, and he had deployed 12,000 Roman soldiers there waiting for the Muslims, fully armed and prepared. And in that 12,000, this risk was taken by the Romans Khulus was also there and Azazir was also there. Khulus was also there and Azazir was also there. Hoping that maybe the Muslims are tired from Ajnadin, why give them that time to come all the way to Dimashq and again to have a base and to fight us? Let us surprise them by deploying 12,000 men there and putting the best generals there, Khulus and Azazir. But Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was a man that nothing would surprise him. He was ever ready. He was ready for anything, any situation. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was there. He said to the Mujahideen, in the name of Allah, take your positions. You have the Romans in front of you. Let us fight them. So you had Sufuf now, you had the Romans. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an is looking at the Roman army. It was quite strange. They were in a very defensive mood. Very defensive mood. Not making a move at all. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala knew exactly what was meant by this. The Romans did not want to fight in that conventional way. They wanted to display power and they wanted a fight which was more like a competition, a tournament phase, a tournament phase. They were used to people spectating and to cheering them up. You had the prisoners that were thrown into the den of hungry lions, and the lions would, subhanallah, eat away the prisoners, and they would clap and cheer and laugh at that. People dying and they would clap their hands. So this was something that was normal for them. Azazir was there and Khulus was there. They did not understand Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. It was the first time for them to encounter Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. They said that, let us first show them the power that we have, the soldiers that we have, the generals that we have. This was something that even the Arabs had applied in their time in war. So you had the enemies, mushrikeen in Makkah, who three or four people of the wrestlers, soldiers would come out and they would say that we are three prepared and ready. Is there anyone amongst you who is there to fight us? If you remember in the Battle of Badr, Huzur alayhi salatu was salam was there with the companions. Mushrikeen in Makkah were also there. You had the arch enemies, Utbah, Walid and Shurah. Utbah, Walid and there was one, Shayba, Jazakallah. Utbah, Walid and Shayba. These three, Kuffar, they came out and they were powerful people, strong wrestlers. Badr ki jang mein hi thi, mujhe yahan tak yaad hai. They came out and they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is there anyone to challenge our warriors? So you had young Ansari companions that came out to take the challenge. So Utbah, Shayba and Walid said, who are you? Who are you? Three young ones. And they said, we are three from the Ansar. And they said in a very arrogant way that you can't fight us. We want someone to our match to come. Who are you to stand in front of us? Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at Hazrat Hamza, again closely related to Huzur alayhi salam. This was the khulus and ikhlas that Huzur alayhi salam had. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam ordered Hazrat Ali. And the third companion to my best knowledge was Hazrat Ubaidah radiyallahu ta'ala. And Ubaidah was the mature one, the one old in age. Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Ali were quite young. Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala and was quite old. So when Hazrat Hamza came out, Utbah, Walid and Shayba saying, yes, now this is the right challenge, the right match. And three of them, three Muslims, companions and the kuffar, the fight started. Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Ali very quickly got rid of the kuffar. You had Utbah fighting Hazrat Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, both of them fighting, they floored each other, injuries with both of them. Eventually Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala came and just killed Utbah. But at the same time there was a lot of injury. that came to Hazrat Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an, it is said that Hazrat Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala an was martyred and he passed away. But the two, Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, were hayat. So this was the method of fighting even in Arabia, and even in the Roman army this was something that was prevalent. So you had generals there. When Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an saw that this is what they want to do, to fight the Muslims, to show what strength they have, instead of waiting for the Romans to come out and to challenge the Muslims, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, without wasting time, said, Zirar, stand up. Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, stand up. And he said, Shirahbil, stand up. So you had three companions. And what else would Hazrat Zirar want? Wherever there is a fight, that is where Hazrat Zirar is. So Hazrat Zirar radiallahu ta'ala, and very, very quickly comes out the three. And Hazrat Zirar was a man, like I said, he would go right in the front, and he went to the kuffar with the son of Amirul Mu'mineen. This is something that you have to see. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, the son of Hazrat Abu Bakr, is there as a great warrior, and all three of them on a horse walking in front of this elite army, where you have also Azazir and Khulus as their generals, and the three top generals, not Khulus and Azazir, the other generals came out to fight Hazrat Zirar and Hazrat Shurahbil and Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, it is said that victory was with the Muslims. This continued for 2 hours. All of the three companions were alive, alhamdulillah, for the 2 hours. And it is said that Hazrat Zirar was the main man who was doing a lot of killing. There was now a pile of dead Romans in front of the Roman army. So anybody who came, Hazrat Zirar and Hazrat Abdul Rahman, would say, right, come. This was an advantage for the Muslims. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an is looking that, alhamdulillah, this is good beginning for the Muslims. Look at Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, his strategy, the brains, the intellect, the power, the aqal that Allah gave him. He said that enough for the lightweights. Now we need the heavyweight bout. You see, now you need Muhammad Ali and the heavyweight. A Prince Nasim ki kya zarurat? Or Amir Khan ki kya zarurat? Hazrat Zirar ko kaha, you take. Now who is the heavyweight bout? Hazrat Khalid bin Walid himself. Subhanallah. What a brave man he was. Now Hazrat Khalid bin Walid said to Zirar and Abdul Rahman and Shurahbil, now you take a rest. 2 hours of fighting, you've done your job. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala an was on his horse. Again, some of the companions says, Hazrat, do you think this is the right move that you are doing? Hazrat Khalid bin Walid says, I know what I am doing. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid wanted the right match to come in front of him. It is better for Hazrat Khalid bin Walid to fight Azazir and Khulus in that manner than to find them in the battlefield, because it's very hard sometimes. Kubuklad, you know what happened to him. He hid his face and he wrapped this cloth around his body and everything so that nobody would find him. So Hazrat Khalid bin Walid said, now it's the heavyweight bout. Let me go out. On his horse, he went out there and he looked at the Roman army and he said, do you know who I am? He knew that these people knew Arabic also. He says, Ana Saifullah, I am the sword of Allah. I am the sword of Allah, I am Khalid bin Walid, and I dare any one of you to come and challenge me. Subhanallah. Everybody became numb. Who is going to challenge Hazrat Khalid bin Walid? And now Khulus is looking at Azazil, and Azazil is looking at Khulus, and the other general. Now you can't have someone light to come and challenge Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. You need the right match, someone who is vastly experienced to take on Hazrat Khalid bin Walid. And who had to come? They had to come, Khulus and Azazil. Inshallah ta'ala, we stop at that. We end at that. Inshallah, we will continue with that in the next session. It's no use covering this very, very quickly. Alhamdulillah, there are different points that we have to cover, if Allah wills, inshallah, in the next session. As Khalid bin Walid ka muqabla aindha hafte ko aap dekhein, inshallah. Dekhein kya, sunein. Ji. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك, نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم, سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. سمعنا وأطعنا, غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير, برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.